Welcome to a new episode of the Strandcast. My name is Jasmine, and I am one of your co-hosts. We were super lucky this time to have a student writer come and read us a spooky story in the spirit of Halloween. So I'm just going to let her take that away, and I hope you enjoy.
Hi, I'm Victoria McIntyre, and this is my story, Heartbeat. Tiffany kept the heart in a jar on her counter. The jar was translucent. Thick, fogged glass vaguely obscured its contents, but there was no missing what vital organ lay on display in her tiny kitchenette. The heart was small. It pumped blood tirelessly when she first removed it, the prison of her chest clenching at the motion. Now it was dormant, though some claimed that they had seen the heart flinch. Jason caught the rippling of the muscled tissue from the corner of his eye during one of their heated arguments.
"Why are you so damn stupid, Tiffany? God!"
Tiffany's face remained still. Porcelain skin wasn't marred by an angry drawing of her eyebrows or a deep, ragged scowl. But the heart did retract. On the steel countertop, the jar jiggled. Jason spun, almost tripping over his brogues in his haste to truly catch sight of the sharp movement. The heart appeared still. Nothing on the counter was disturbed. A fruit bowl that Jason had given her for Christmas stood in the center of the table. No chip marks were present beyond those that he remembered. The crystal glass half filled with Tiffany's favorite Cabernet hadn't moved an inch, though Jason could have sworn the wine was swaying slightly, lapping against the sides of the cup. He blinked. The Cabernet was flat. In her typical fashion, Tiffany ended their argument. Her graceful frame disappeared behind the ornate door of her bedroom. Jason knew she would emerge after leaving him to stare down at the white carpet for approximately 5 minutes. Then Tiffany would lean down to where he sat fiddling with one of the decorative pillows along her leather sofa and kiss him. Jason cleared his throat guiltily as he waited for this eventuality. The door handle turned slowly. Tiffany stood in the doorway for a moment. Fluorescent lights grazed the top of her blonde curls, creating a subtle halo. She stepped into the room. Jason watched her glide towards him. She sat down delicately and took his hands in hers. Tiffany's fingers were cool and slim against his palm. She smiled at him, her green eyes glittering.
"Jason," her voice was hushed, but not quite a whisper. "It's been a long night. I think it's time for you to go home."
This was also an expected part of their makeup ritual, but even as the familiar words passed between them, even after Jason departed and had almost made it all the way back to his apartment uptown, all he could hear was the rattling of that jar on the countertop. He usually waited for Tiffany to call him. Jason knew that she liked her space and was constantly wary of pushing her too much. There was just something that drew him to her, a question that he couldn't formulate. He hated leaving her place and heading back to his. The distance wasn't great, but that didn't make the separation any less absolute. Jason stared down at the sleek screen of his iPhone, his thumb itching to tap on Tiffany in his contacts. The small, circular picture of the two of them smiling at each other shone beside her name. He called her. The dial tone felt abnormally loud in his nervous ears. It rang steadily until her brief voicemail message played, and Jason hung up. In all his worrying about the implications of him calling her first, he never considered how he would feel if she didn't answer. A worm of panic burrowed in his stomach. Surely she hadn't ignored him. She must have gone out and left her phone at home. Would it be crazy if he went over there and waited for her? No. Yes. Jason wasn't sure. All he knew was that he was already on his way. Frosty November air reddened his face as he rapped his knuckles on Tiffany's door. He crossed his arms tightly. Tension raised his shoulders as time passed. Jason's eyes darted towards the potted plant on her stoop and paused for a moment. Its leaves were a dark green that was quickly fading into brown. The stem was limp underneath the weak rays of the overcast sky. Metal gleamed amongst the dry soil along the base of the plant. It had been 15 minutes. He was sure that Tiffany wasn't home. Jason found his fingers curling around the key, nails caked in dirt. His hands shook and the keychains clanked as he shoved it into the lock and twisted. Tiffany's townhouse was a different creature with the lights all off. The modern furniture became cold, the lack of windows oppressive. The black air weighed in on him, whispering, "You shouldn't be here." Jason's spine stiffened as he walked deeper into the house. A narrow hallway opened into the living area. Nothing had changed since he had seen it last. The pillow even remained right where he'd left it earlier that week, the fabric indented by his anxious kneading. Jason's footsteps echoed slightly as he walked into Tiffany's bedroom. He refused to look at the one spot that was begging for his attention. He didn't let himself wonder if she left the heart out when she wasn't home. Logic told him that she must take it with her wherever she went, because there was no way that she could function without it. Yet even as he repeated these thoughts over and over again, "It's not there, it's not there," he knew that he could never be completely sure. The shifting of the jar still clanged through his eardrums, the low squeak of glass on metal, of quick human motion. It confused his senses. Jason sat down on the edge of Tiffany's warm bed. After a moment of hesitation, he kicked off of his shoes and scooted up to the top of it, head meeting plush pillows and socked feet sprawling across the blue blankets. As he stared at Tiffany's various medical school awards lining the wall opposite to him, he considered rising to turn on the lights. Something just wasn't right about this darkness. He tucked an arm under his cheek and traced the curling letters of "Congratulations, Tiffany Robinson," with tired eyes. Slowly, his mind drifted into a world of blurry images and lazy comforts. Jason dreamt of blonde hair fanning the pillow next to his, and a silent embrace followed by an icy presence against his back. The heart jolted him, beating wildly in its enclosure. It always wanted to be closer. His eyes fluttered open, sleepy thoughts washing away in the light of an open window. Jason checked the alarm clock to his left. He'd napped for about 3 hours. "Tiffany?" His groggy voice stretched down the hallway. No response came. Jason sighed and flipped over, his hand brushing the pillow next to his as he pushed himself out of bed. He padded into the kitchen. A jug of water sat next to Tiffany's purse on the breakfast table. Jason poured himself a tall glass. Water sloshed down his throat as he took a big gulp. He leaned casually against the counter and called her name again. A throbbing object glanced off of his arm. Jason's voice cut off mid-sentence. The throbbing gradually became faster. The jerking noise pinched his ears and rattled his brain. Glass fought to contain the heart. He heard a meaty squelch as the jar slid into his peripheral vision. It was beating so rapidly that Jason wondered if Tiffany was in trouble. She must have been for it to be in such a state. He reached into his pocket and pulled out his cell phone. Even in his panic, it did not escape his notice that this would be the second time he would be calling her first in one day. He paused, but the heart picked up more speed, galloping at such a rate that he worried it might just stop dead. He dialed. Tiffany picked up on the third ring.
"Hello?
Where are you? Is everything okay? Are you hurt? Jason?"
Her voice sounded very far away.
Yes, it's me. Are you all right?"
"I'm fine. I'm just at the grocery store. Why?"
Jason was too busy trying to keep the jar from falling off of the counter without touching it to reply. Tiffany's tone was strident.
"Where are you, Jason?"
He ran out of the kitchen, his legs propelling him toward her bedroom.
I'm driving to your house, actually."
She chuckled softly, suddenly right against the receiver.
"And why is that?"
It was not a question.
"I missed you, I guess."
Jason jammed his feet into his loose-laced shoes, cradling the phone precariously between his ear and his shoulder.
You always come back to me, don't you?
Tiffany was still talking, but Jason barely registered her words as he shuffled towards the exit. He passed by the kitchen again, just as the jar tumbled off of the counter and splattered on the wooden floor. Glass burst, spraying and splintering the heart as it bashed against the ground. Jason dropped to his knees. Tiffany's voice swam into his ears again as he stared blankly at the jagged tear in his own heart. Blood drops dusted shards of a destroyed cage as she whispered seductively.
It's as if there's a part of you that belongs to me.
Experiences that I've had or that could be found in everyday life. So I thought that something very suspenseful and involving these magical realism elements, like little sprinkles of horror, would be something new for me, and I was excited to try something like that. I find, even though there's somewhat of a cliche in like the vixen or like the scary woman character who and the male is like the victim of this
seductress.
I think that this, it's kind of fun to play with tropes a little bit, especially in horror, and put little spins on them like this, where you have like a physical jar with a heart in it. Like that image is so
visceral.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. Well, what do you think makes a work the most scary? What do you think is one of the most, or some of the most important aspects to creating a subtle but effective horror?
That's a good question. I think it has a lot to do with pace. I think that also knowing where you're going with it, so planning and plot structure can be very important with horror, because you want to have that twist and or those moments of tension that you can build much more clearly if you know where things are headed. So some people like to do a lot of planning before they write, and then some people like to do what they kind of call it pantsing it, where you just write off the top of your head. And I think, there's no complete rule that anyone has to follow, but I think that for horror specifically, it's better to have a good structure ahead of you and to start things off in a more mundane manner. So once they turn into something a bit more dark and creepy, the audience or the reader can come along with you down that path, and they feel like they're being led into the dark forest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Way more terrifying that way, yeah. It's like, hey, friends, like, let's go on an adventure.
And yeah,
it's like, just keeps getting darker and darker.
Exactly.
What are you looking forward to most for this Halloween, or what have you looked forward to when you were a kid?
Ooh, okay. I mean, I love Halloween. I love dressing up. I think that's a big part of it for me. Even as I get older, I still like to dress up. So thinking of costumes for every year is really fun. I never dedicate as much time to the actual preparing of the costumes I want to. Like, my ideas get really vague, and then I procrastinate, and the day gets closer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I also love candy, so I really love, like, the Shopper's Drug Mart sales on candy that come
on
Halloween. That's really good.
You sweep the entire aisle.
But yeah.
But then the thing is, like, interestingly, like, Halloween has moved away from, like, actual, like, horror and death and whatever. It's, like, moved towards this, like, kind of lighter, commercialized version of Halloween.
Yeah.
Which is, like, not terrifying in any form.
Yeah, although there is the, I know Casa Loma has, like, this big haunted house every year.
Oh, yes.
And I've never been to it, but I'm hoping maybe to go this year. That's something I'm looking forward to specifically this year. We'll see if it happens, because I'm usually pretty cowardly about that stuff. I'm a bit of a scary cat, but it looks really fun.
It's kind of interesting how people will just, like, pay to be scared. Like, how we are, like, so almost, like, into it. Like, how, like, willing we are to, like, actually spend money to, like, feel an emotion that is, like, in no way pleasant.
It's the same kind of with with some roller coasters too. Or for me, like the drop zone.
Yeah.
At a Wonderland, like you're just paying to have a moment where your stomach rises.
Yep.
And you want to throw up and also die. And yeah.
I guess that's kind of like what it is with fiction. Then, like, it's we're trying to have some kind of experience that hopefully would never happen to someone real.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a combination of that feeling and also trying to live vicariously through characters, if it's like a romance or a success story. So we're always trying to get as much emotional feedback like as we can from other places that aren't our own lives.
I'm kind of into Tiffany. Like, she's in medical school and she wins awards, so like I mean, like on the balance, she's okay.
Yeah, she may be like somewhat fixed in life, but she's also a strong, independent woman.
Yeah.
Is pursuing a career in the STEM field.
So, like, we should always cheer on any kind of girl, no matter how creepy.
Yeah.
She's going into STEM, am I right, ladies?
Yeah.
Going to STEM. This actually just segued into, like, a huge thing about girls going to STEM. Obviously.
Oh, yeah. That was obviously my entire message.
Yes.
Just about STEM.
Yeah. We were fools not to see it at the beginning. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming in, and yeah. To the people on the Strandcast, this is what you could also be doing if you submit a story to Storytime. So yeah, join us. Yeah, see you guys next time. Bye.